Amen. Can the church say amen? Can the church say hallelujah? Amen. Thank you, brother, for those wonderful hymns. We praise thee, O God, higher ground, when the roll is called up yonder. All spiritual songs. It's a beautiful thing to come to the house of the Lord. God has blessed us, raised us from our beds of slumber, and gave us a mind to be equal with him by coming to the house of the Lord to dwell in spiritual places this morning. Greetings, my dear Christians and friends. Welcome to the Stony Island Church of Christ, to those who are visiting this morning. I'm Brother Randall Hall, your speaker for the morning, for those who are visiting this morning and don't know me. I'm humbled and thankful for this opportunity to stand before you this morning to minister the Word of God. And as the brother said in his speech, without any addition or subtraction, the unadulterated Word of God. I pray we all have our Bibles with us this morning, but our swords, the Word of God, it's with us. There's no excuse not to know in these last days what thus saith the Lord. It is written in the Psalms 133, how good and pleasant, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that ran down to the skirts of his garment. And as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. These are wonderful songs of degree that we have in the Lord. How wonderful this high point of fellowship we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is not a thing to be taken lightly. This is a high way, a holy way. This is as high as it gets on the earth, face of the earth, that we have this unity together here this morning. We're all active participants in the worship service of God, and God is the only spectator beholding his children in love. As we sing praises, this is dear and precious to God. To see his children in unity. As we pray, sing, give, commune, and teach the wonderful word of God. Sermon title is titled this morning, It's Harvest Time. I thought about that, and it came out in several messages this morning, this harvest time. The text was taken, the scripture was from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And you might think that a bit odd, seeing how it's Matthew 9, 37 and 38 that speaks of this harvest time and praying to the master to send those to harvest, to work in this vineyard. But I'd like to take a different course of action by looking at 1 Corinthians 9, because it's pertaining to you who are laboring in the vineyard. And this is your time to be harvested. Your time to be harvested by God and work in the vineyard is now. And that's why I'm taking this text from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And I hope we find in this for you who are faithful and true to God, perseverance, persistence, and the prize that is waiting for you. God promised you a prize for laboring in the garden. You are not laboring at an empty work or something that will not bring forth a peaceable fruit to you or something you will be pleased with at the end of your labor of love. I want you to know that. Oftentimes, this is not a beat-down sermon. This is an exhortation sermon. That those who are laboring may be exalted and encouraged to continue to fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on salvation. For God has a special something for you. The Christian life was never promised as an easy way to live. Instead, Paul consistently reminds us that we must have a purpose and a plan, because times will be difficult and Satan will attack. But we are preserved, never promised without the promise a prize, a promise God will keep. So God will not leave us alone in this fight. I excuse my spelling because I've run words into words. But nevertheless, God has not left us unprepared to fight the fight, to lay hold on salvation, to continue this fight of faith. As was read into our hearing, according to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the verses were 24 through 27. To reiterate, if you have your scriptures, let us read again. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run. Run in such a way that you may... obtain. I have very small print. I need a large print Bible. You may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an incorruptible crown or imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beateth the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. And that is the lesson to the faithful Christian in Christ who is working in the vineyard to obtain this prize. We must take a circumspect look at our lives and be sure that we are not perishing, but we are fighting and moving in a direction that will lead us to eternal salvation and will inherit the prize of life. The purpose. Run to get. If we take a focus on 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Run to get the prize. Run straight to the goal. Anyone who is trying to obtain it, if I set an object at the back of the church there and had three people standing here, what direction do you think they would get to that prize at the back? Do you think one would go way out that way and another this way? In order to get to the direct one in the back, a straight line is the most, obtainable route to receive a prize. God does not want you to vary from the word of God. It is a straight and a narrow way, a proven and sure way. And God wants you to stay focused in Christ Jesus in order to receive your prize. The plan, this discipline, your body, according to verse 25. Discipline your body, training it. We must discipline ourselves, church. We must continue to take a circumspective look into the perfect law of liberty and change to conform ourselves to the way of God. We cannot let ourselves slip back, but go forward to the mark of the high calling, the prize that is set before us, eternal life, a crown that will last forever. And keep that in mind. God has promised you something that is eternal in glory. Something that will not perish. But if you stay on that straight course, you will obtain it. He has set this thing for you to have. Galatians 6, 7 through 10, verse 9. Don't become weary in well-doing. Along this straight path, God has a work for you in this vineyard to obtain this prize. And oftentimes on our day-to-day basis, with the trials and the tribulations of life, the pressures of the job, the afflictions of the flesh, not to mention the daily things that happen in our personal families, the intimate things that happen that no one knows about but you, that you're struggling with. These things, Satan will try to come upon you and prevent you from obtaining your goal. Don't become weary in well-doing, church. I don't care how thin the congregation looks to you. You're a precious commodity to God. And wherever two or three or more gathered, touching together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And God is with us this morning, beholding your service to him. And so don't become weary in this fight. Don't become deterred by those who will murmur and complain, bite and gnash. Continue your work of love. Continue in this straight way that will lead you to a prize of eternal life. In verse 9 of Galatians 6, it says, don't give up. Don't give up. The exhortation, to build you up and to encourage you not to this race we're running. I don't know if we've ever, I thank God for a country which once upon a time in this country, everyone had physical ed. And in physical ed, you got a chance to express yourself physically through endurance. That was a good thing before they ripped it out of the schools, wasn't it? You got a taste of what it was to persevere or to press on or to maybe come in first or in that race to obtain that prize. Too bad we don't have that anymore. But the coach would inspire you, don't give up. Don't give up. I'm taking down your score. Don't give up. Get out there and go for it. We are to constantly encourage one another on a day-to-day basis. Don't give up in this race. Don't give up, church. Continue to fight this good fight. Continue to be what? To help and to do well and to do things that are pleasing to God. In verse 10 of Galatians 6, it says, do good to everyone. Oftentimes, we become discriminate on this straight path we're running to obtain this prize. We start to discriminate. Well, I like brother, but I don't like sister. I like sister, but I don't like the other sister. The scripture tells us to bear one another's burdens. And this is good in the sight of God. Don't discriminate, church. Do good to everyone. Let's not segregate ourselves in the church. I'm speaking to the church this morning. Shake a hand and walk by a friend. Let's not be like that. Let's shake everybody's hand. And I'm thankful for the Christian soldiers amongst us, the sisters and the brothers who are faithful with that every Lord's Day. That's one of the things that impressed me when I first came to this congregation. The friendliness, the humbleness, of being sure that you got your handshake and a warm welcome. The plan, verse 8 in Galatians 6, and we're on our lesson still because we're running this race. According to 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, we're still running this race. We're trying to obtain this prize along the way. Verse 8 in Galatians 6 says, so to please the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Word of God. Corinthians tells us, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him. But the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And it says that God has given us these things to know the deep things of God. And so as we sow unto the Spirit. Our efforts, our works, our desires are to please or to be in keeping with the Word of God. Allow the Word to lead you in this straight and this narrow way. And again, if you will do this, that verse 8 says in Galatians 6, you will reap eternal life. Who knew Brother Smith would leave us when he did? Others in the brotherhood, I hear there's a death in the Davis's family. Condolences to you. We all have had loved ones leave us unexpectedly. Condolences to you. But we don't know when our time is up. We don't know the next moment whether we can stand up and just simply drop in your spot. But understand this, church. If you contend for this prize, if you're running this race, God says, I got you. I have a home in heaven, not made with hands, eternal in glory. You have eternal life at the end of your race. Whenever God says your race is over. I hope you hear me on that. Because we don't know when our race is over. The scripture says, work while it's day. But when night comes, no man can work. Even in the book of Ephesians, written to the church in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, it speaks of the purpose of running this race again. Where it puts in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, it says, put on the full armor of God. In this race, you're going to need some armor on. You're going to need some protection, church. God does not leave you without protection in this race. Who leaves his child without protection? God has protection for you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That's some good scripture, ain't it? Verse 10 says, pray. Verse 18 of Ephesians 6 says, pray on all occasions. You know what? Sometimes we just don't pray enough in this race we're running. God wants us to pray about every little thing. When you're thinking about it, stop and pray. I pray that we are, and what I'm finding out with the faithful in Christ Jesus, I love to read. I didn't read this morning, but I love to start out reading the greetings and the salutations generally pertaining to the book I'm going to take the subject from. Because he always speaks about the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that's who he's praying for. That's who he's writing to. You know why? Because you know they're going to get it. Those are the ones that are prayerful people. Those are the ones that have the armor of God on. Those are the ones who are contending for the faith. They have their eye on the prize. And so he writes to the faithful. But he says, pray on every occasion. There's not one occasion you can think about that we shouldn't pray about. Not one. This is God's will according to the Spirit of God. The plan, verse 11 in Ephesians 6 says, use all the pieces of God's armor to resist the enemy. There's a list there we can read down, but for time's sake, I'm giving you scripture for it. There's a list of armor. And generally with armor, each piece has an individual purpose. If you leave the shin plate off and you've got the armor on top, you go in, they're going to hit you in the shin. If you leave the breastplate off and you go in with your legs protected, they're going to hit you in the chest. Every piece of armor, especially you military guys know about that, has a purpose. And this is a warfare, church. For those who are on this road to receive this prize, it's a warfare. But God wants you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and endure to the end. Verse 11, the prize. Taking your stand against the devil's, how do you say this, shams. The flim-flam man. Devil has shams. He would love to get you caught up in them. Something that's not quite of the gospel. Something that's not really spiritual. Something that will waylay your run to the end of the race or to get to the prize. Hey, stop for a moment. What? You're distracting me from my prize. You're distracting me from running this race. But the shams are, oh, wait a minute. You got time. You got a moment. You don't have to stay focused on the prize. It'll be there when you decide to pick it up and run again. Don't fall for the shams of the devil. We don't have time, church. Tomorrow's not promised us. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Don't forsake the assembling of the Lord for Satan calling you to some sham that he got on the side that has nothing pertaining to the Lord. Put the Lord first in all of your deeds, in all of your actions. Because we are running this race, and we're running to win. Because God has a prize for you, and you cannot afford to lose it. Not this race. The plan, let's take a look at Philippians now. Because all this has to do with that 1 Corinthians. You notice how the books line up, and they're exhorting these Christians to obtain a prize. God promises us something in our labor of love. This is the harvest time. You're called into labor. You are going to have a reward at the end of your labor. Let's not take this for granted. Philippians, the third chapter, 12 to 14. The purpose. Verse 12. Press on toward the day when you will be all God wants you to be. Woo, church. Grow in the grace and the admiration of the Lord. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Become a meat eater in the Lord. Meat for the master's use. How wonderful it is to find yourself in a position that God can use you. As you mature in the gospel of God. Any one of us who is faithful in this course know how far God has brought us. And not we ourselves. We contend, but God has brought us through many dangers, toils, and snares we've already come. As the song says, there'll be no less what? Woo! You know, and at the end of this prize, when we get that prize, then it's eternal. We can rejoice. He's brought us so far, church. Seems like, you know, I'm beginning to understand when he says the day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is the day in the sight of the Lord. At times, it's like every 20 years, it just drops. Whoop, whoop, 20 years older. Whoop, whoop, drop up, another 20 years older. Maybe that's what it means by 80 years and 10 of our regional strength, 80. But still, we have strength, labor, sorrow, then it's cut off and we fly away. Teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to stay in this race. We need to finish this race to the end. We need to obtain a prize of eternal life, a home in heaven not made with hands. Press onward, church. Press on. Verse 13 of Philippians 3. Forget the past. Push on toward the head. What is ahead? A lot of us carry a lot of baggage with this church. Drop the baggage. God has forgiven you of your sin. I don't care if man is still pressing from what angle he's pressing from, whether he's in your pocket, whether he's trying to repossess, or what he's trying to do. Look on, press on to the mark of the high calling. You have something greater to obtain. Forget about those things that are behind you. Press on to the things that are before you. For God has called you to a higher, more nobler calling. He will supply all of your needs. Has supplied all of our needs. And has never dropped the ball on us. Now when we are called aside in those devil schemes, yeah, we drop the ball. But God has never dropped the ball. And he still has a prize of eternal life at the end of your life if you will continue faithful until the end. Despite Satan's devices to deter you from coming to the house of God and being and pressing on to the mark of the high calling. God has a reward for you at the end of this race. Don't let Satan jip you out of it. Satan cannot jip you out of it if you keep your eye on the prize. Verse 13 of Philippians 3. For yet the past is now, that was just where I went over, the prize again. Verse 14 of Philippians 3. The harvest prize for which God calls you heavenward. Woo! Y'all just don't know what you got in store for you. There's a place of rest where my soul can sing. And the harvest of his wings. And the, oh, God's got so many wonderful songs when God calls you forward. Brother Smith has been called forward to a place of rest. Brother Miles is called forward to a place of rest. Other places in the brotherhood, they've been called. When we're called, I hope to be called to a place of rest. I don't know about you, but I ain't running this race in vain. God has brought me too far. The footprints in the sand is not mine. They're all his. And he says, if I continue to run this race to obtain that prize of eternal life, and when he calls me forward, hallelujah, what a glorious day. Victory in Jesus. Tomorrow's not promised us, church, but we can be sure that we have the promise of eternal life if we continue faithful unto the end. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, 1 through 13. This is harvest time, church. It's time to work. It's time to attain that prize. It's time to run this race. The purpose. Verse 2. Entrust these great things, he says, to people who are able to pass them on to others. Oh! What did we just say? You have an obligation, church, in running this race. To pass them on. To pass them on to who? To pass them on to people who will be able to teach others. That's a skill, y'all. In case we don't know that, that's a skill. When you learn to do that, when you become in the position where you can teach others to carry what? The bloodstained banner of Christ? To carry the word to the world? That's the task before us. God has put his treasure in earthen vessels. He wants us to reproduce that by passing that word to others who will be able to teach others. Believe it or not, that's a big problem in the church today for some reason. But our job, our personal job, is to be about the business of God. And that is in treating everyone with the word of God. Verse 1 of 2 Timothy 2. Be strong in Christ and the grace. Even when your faith is fluttering, there's going to come a time where your faith is going to be tested. And you're going to flutter a little bit. In this race you're running, and you come to that hill, and you feel that little fatigue in you. Can I make it? Yes, God has given you the power to make it. Even when you're fluttering a little bit, know that God's got you. Know that God has you. And he's not going to drop you. He's going to see to it that you make it to the end. Be strong in the grace. Grace is unmerited favor of God. You know what? Ooh, that's so much in that. That's a whole sermon in that. Because we don't deserve it. But God so loved us. And here we are, children of God, running a race to obtain a prize that's eternal in heaven. And understanding that one day he's going to call us to this great reward. How blessed we are as children of God. The plan, according to verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2, endure hardship like a soldier and don't get involved in worldly affairs. Woo! There we go. All too often, church, we get involved in worldly affairs. Now, you know, let me set this up. It says, endure hardship like a what? Like a soldier. Now, for those who have been soldiers, you know what I mean. When you soldiering, you ain't worried about nothing but soldiering. They don't want you worried about nothing but soldiering. Your job is the soldier. We are soldiers of Christ. Scripture, what's the song? Soldiers of Christ, arise, put your armor on, strong in the strength which God provides through his loving Son. Our job is the soldier, the gospel of Christ, to the world. Amen. And not to be distracted by the newspaper, by the radio, by the TV, by all these idiotic anything that has to do with Satan's little common trifles to sidetrack us. Oh, what are they doing on Dynasty? I don't even know about those no more. I ain't had a TV in 30 years. Don't want one. Well, no, I got a phone. Okay, phone, everybody got to have a Mac. If you got a phone, you got a TV. But I'm saying, don't let these things, if you're watching more TV or radio or listen to more of that and know more about that than you know about the word of God, then you're not going to receive that prize. We're running a race here. You can't be distracted with the affairs of the world. You are soldiering for God. You have a purpose. You are armed and clothed. Scripture says what? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You are in a war zone. You cannot stop to watch TV. You cannot stop to watch the soap opera or listen to something that does not pertain to God. God puts those who are in power in power. Read your scriptures. Yes, do I care? Do I exercise my voice? Yes, I exercise my vote. That's my reasonable service to the world. But I am not distracted from this straight and narrow way God has put me in to obtain my prize. Don't let anybody jip you out of your prize. Whoo, Lord. You know, it was Lot that was vexed with the conversation. Foolish people. And we are in the day and age right now in which it's becoming the same exact way. The scripture says it shall be as in the days of Noah when Christ returns. You know, giving and taking and bearing, not paying any attention to anything. Doing what we want to do. And believe me, it's becoming compiled out there. It's getting worse every day. It's just a fact, historically. Don't let anything distract you from your prize, from running this race of receiving eternal life. When he calls you to this place of rest and glory, it's going to be such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't let him take it. Don't let Satan get you distracted. Endure this hardship, it says, as like a soldier. And don't get involved with worldly affairs. Don't get involved with that foolishness. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy 2 says, follow the Lord's rules as an athlete must do in order to win. Let me tell you something. We don't beat the air. You know, have you ever, and once again, we've had experiences with athleticism because of our school and all, but you reserve your energy when you're running a race. You don't just beat the air foolishly. Not even a boxer. When a boxer is boxing, they score on hits thrown, not on air throws. What you miss is what you hit. When you're running a race, you're reserving energy. When you're striving, you're reserving it. Why? Because everything is a perpetual locomotion forward to meet the goal ahead of you, to win the prize. And so you learn how to strategically move your body, not just frivolously, but in order to win the race. And God does not want us to foolishly down here beat the air. Beat the air. He wants us to know how to wisely run this race. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy 2. Work hard like a farmer who tends his crops for the harvest. Church, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. God wants us to pay attention to this job he's put before us in this vineyard. We have to bring forth fruits that are pleasing and acceptable to God the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have not been left to our own to plant or to till as we will, but according as the Holy Spirit guides us in the vineyard of God. The prize, according to verse 11 and 12, 2 Timothy 2 and 13, it says, you will leave with Christ. You will live with Christ. You will reign with him. I know it's hard for us sometimes to imagine, but for you who are pressing on and have been in this way for a little while, sometimes we long for that. I don't know about you, but wow, I'm going to live with Christ. It becomes real as you become older. Because one thing else becomes real, too, is that these bodies ain't here forever. You know, that's just a fact of life. There are more aches and pains than ever. And so one day he says, you're going to live with Christ. He's going to give you a new body. There's going to be no aches and pains. You're going to be with him. And that's who we really are, y'all. God created us. And it's God who's going to, and said, the soul is mine. And once you die, it's going to return to me. Sometimes we get lost down here, sidetracked by Satan, thinking that this is it. Flesh and blood. Scripture tells us, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. This is a spiritual matter. Spiritual things are being told his children to run this race and to come into full assurance and know who you are in Christ Jesus. And who you hope to be. Verse 13, you will reign with him. He remains faithful. Isn't it good to know we have a a Christ that sits on the right-hand side of God with all power and authority, and he is a faithful Christ. He wants you to always come and consult him. Come before his throne of grace to find help in your time of need. He's positioned to have empathy on your behalf because he came down in the flesh like as you are, was yet without sin, and died and rose up far above the angels back into heaven to sit on the right-hand side of God with all power and authority on your behalf. Just for you. So that you can be quickened with him and know him and have a, I like that song, My God and I Go in the Field Together. We walk and we talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadow hue. How beautiful. I pray that's your walk with God. And that when you run this race, he will not beat the air, but you will be sure of the things that are before you. That in this harvest time, that you will work as unto the Lord, and knowing that your prize of life waits for you at the end of this life. I think I said enough this morning. I pray you are exhorted and encouraged as a child of God, running your individual Christian race to obtain eternal life. And that one day, one day we all going to meet on the other side. One day we will all be on the other side. And you know what? Ain't going to be no tears in heaven. No sorrow given. I ain't going to be crying over there. I cry because I have this hope that's in me. Tears of joy. And when I'm called home, I'm going to have a place of rest. And I'm going to meet up with some soldiers who ran the same race. And we're going to be just as joyous. And we're going to be so happy. I don't think happy is the word. I don't think they'll use happy up there. They're just going to be singing all the time. We got the prize. And you know what? Won't be mentioned to anybody else. It'll just be all of us in heaven with Christ, eternal with him in glory. If you don't know Christ, if you've never received the Lord, if you've never been added to the body of Christ, you need to come to Christ before it's eternally too late. The scripture says faith comes by hearing, being teachable, having a heart of receptivity to the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of a faithful God who said, here is my beloved son, who I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when we hear the word of God, then you can make up a heart of belief, you can believe something. Christ said, unless you believe that I am he, who? The Messiah, the Christ promised from long ago before the world began, that would save his people from their sins, and has done so by coming down in the flesh and dying and rising back up to heaven on your behalf. We need to have some more repentant hearts. We're in a day and age where people have become hardened in heart. They think, oh, I'm doing all right. I've made a living down here. We have to be in a prosperous country. I got a good education. I got a good job. I'm okay. No, you're not. You're faking it. There's no joy outside of Christ. Only the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In order to obtain joy, we must do so by obeying and running this race in Christ Jesus. So if you have heard this form of gospel, if you have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you have a repentant heart, want to turn around from the weak and the beggarly elements of the world, living a sinful life, you must confess the sweetest name that's ever been given. Scripture says in Acts, the second chapter, he says, when they say, what must we do to be saved? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord, for remission of sins. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you have heard, if you have believed, if you have a repentant heart, if you have confessed Christ, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says here and to, baptism does now save us. Not the putting off the filth of the flesh, but the answer to a good conscience in the sight of God. You must go down in the water grave of baptism to wash away your sins and rise up as a child of God to run a race with a prize before you. The doors of the church are always open. That's what we're here for on this planet. to share this good news with our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our spouses, our siblings, to share this good news, and then go on and get your prize. The invitation is extended. Brother will come forth with a song, and at that time, if you'd like to come down and confess your faults, have the congregation pray for you, we'd be more than glad to do so. As the brother stands, as brother comes forth at this time in song.